Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White, from virginiasports.com, and the start of another UVA baseball season is almost here. My guest this afternoon is one of the greatest players in program history, and that's Danny Hultson. Danny, thanks for joining me. How long have you been back in Charlottesville, and how long will you be here?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. This is cool. I have been back in Charlottesville for about two or three weeks, and I'm here for another few days before I head out to Arizona for spring training.
So you're at the ballpark most of the time?
Reliving some good memories, which has been fun, working out with some guys that I played with, and getting to work with the current team a little bit. I mean, not really work with them, but just kind of watch from afar and get to meet some of those guys, which has been fun.
So I started working here in July 2009, which was not long after the end of your first season at UVA.
Mm-hmm.
Time flies, doesn't it?
It's crazy. Yeah, what was that? That was 11 years ago?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's crazy. It feels like sometimes I catch myself being like watching these guys practice, and I was like, this feels like a normal practice that we were having, now 11 years ago. It's crazy how fast time flies.
Are they calling
like that.
You Mr. Hultson or sir?
No, none of that. If they did, I'd put an immediate stop to that.
When you played here, it was known as Davenport Field, and it was really nice. It's even nicer now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the remodeled and expanded Disharoon Park?
Oh, it is unbelievable. Some of that field is and stadium is certainly nicer than some of the minor league parks I've played in, and certainly up there with the major league parks that I've gotten to be a part of. It's certainly on a smaller scale, certainly, but as far as the accommodations and just the atmosphere, even I haven't been there with people in it, but just walking around when nobody's there is pretty special.
So it would be an incredible understatement to say that your professional baseball career has been a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Seattle selected you number 2 overall in the 2011 Major League Baseball draft. Your pro career started. Had you dealt with any injuries to that point of your career? Anything significant?
No, I mean, I missed some time in high school with my shoulder, but I think that was just part of growing up and growing in my body a little bit. And in college, my arm would get tired every now and then, just like everybody else's. But yeah, that first adjusting to the pro ball style of throwing every fifth day and throwing more often, and the season being much longer, and getting to the point where I was throwing on it when I shouldn't have. Honestly, mm-hmm. I was, because of where I got drafted, I put up a lot of unhealthy pressure on myself to make other people happy and not.
Right.
And try to live up to all these expectations that were put on me, and I went down a path way too far of trying to live up to that. And when my arm started to bother me, I threw through it because I didn't want to be the guy that got hurt. I didn't want to be the guy that disappointed anyone.
The soft guy, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a fine line between tough and stupid, and I was on way past towards the stupid end of that.
So for listeners who are not familiar with the obstacles you have faced as a pro, kind of take us through your career path. You leave Charlottesville in 2011.
2011, yep. And then I play in the Fall League in 2011, which was a great experience. And then go on down to Jackson, Tennessee, and had a great time there. Got to – that was the Fall
that's
League.
That's double-A ball,
that is
right?
Double-A, yeah. And getting acclimated to what professional baseball was like was a great experience. And I got called up to Triple-A midway through that year, and that's kind of where my problems started to get ahead of me.
You were 8-3 in Jackson, well.
Yeah, and I had a good half a season in Jackson, and then certainly the better the more experienced competition in AAA was a huge adjustment. And I started walking guys, and I started to get worried that, I'm not the guy that walks guys. I'm the guy that has really good command. And, they took me second overall, and I don't walk people. And that certainly made me walk even more people. And my arm started to bother me towards the end of that year, but figured that I could muster through it and get through that for the end of the first year. And not be the guy that got hurt or be the soft guy that complained about his arm. So I finished off that year and went into the next year feeling good. made a handful of starts in AAA, and my arm got to the point where it was like, I can't. Yeah. It could be Game 7 of the World Series, and I can't do this. Hard to lift my arm, hard to even just flick the ball 45 feet.
Right.
And that's when the real problem started to happen. I tried to rehab it, tried to get back and forth of building my arm strength.
Tried to do it without surgery, right?
Exactly, yeah. And unfortunately, that did not work. And I had to have shoulder surgery at the end of that season in 2013. And I had a pretty messed up shoulder. I tore my labrum, my rotator cuff, and my capsule, which is a pretty extensive list of injuries. Yeah. Some guys, from what the doctors told me, it's common to tear one of the three or maybe two of the three, but not all three at the same time is pretty rare. And I think that's just that attributed to the effect I was throwing on it when I shouldn't have for so long. And had the surgery. The surgery went well. Rehabbed all of that through 2014, and the rehab went fantastic. I didn't have any setbacks of having to take a couple weeks off or anything like that. So I rehabbed that entire year of 2014. Came back to 2015, was feeling great. Made it to a couple rehab starts back in Jackson, and that's again when I was throwing 2, 3, 4 innings at a time coming back as a starter. That was just, in hindsight, that was way too much work
for that.
Yeah, and the workload I was putting on it with the extensive work that was done on my shoulder, it was too much. And they said it came back too quickly, and that, I guess that's...
Were there any doctors or trainers telling you to slow down, or did they just kind of trust what you were telling them?
Yeah, they trusted what I was telling them. And that's where, again, I tried to be the guy that came back from the surgery. Even though I had missed a lot of time, I was going to be the guy that came back from it because they took me where they did a couple of years ago that got way into my head. And came back for a little bit again that year. I tried to come back, and it really, really bothered me in 2015. So ended up having to be shut down for the rest of that year.
Mm-hmm.
2016, came back and tried to do things a little bit more slowly, a little bit more methodically, not be as aggressive as I was in the past. And unfortunately, that didn't work either. ended up hurting my shoulder again. I remember throwing a live batting practice and reaching for my phone afterwards, not being able to get my phone up there. I was like, here we go again. This is not good. Got the MRIs and stuff, and the damage was there again, unfortunately. But
kind of the same damage?
Same damage, yeah. Everything was torn again, but it was in different spots this time. So there's a platelet-rich plasma injection that is fairly common in pro ball or in anywhere. But I tried one of those just as a last resort, just like maybe hopefully this works. If it doesn't, then we'll go down a different path. And it honestly worked for a while. I remember getting the injection and like a week later feeling like I had a brand new arm, and that was encouraging. That was very, very exciting. So had to make a couple rehab starts, and I remember in rookie ball, and I remember throwing a pitch. I think the first pitch was like 90 miles an hour, and then the second pitch, heard something, felt something, and it was 84 miles an hour. I was like, this is not happening. So I had to have second surgery right after that in July of 2016.
So and you're out all 17 at that point.
All 17, which was actually a breath of fresh air, honestly, because that was actually that was the end of my contract with the Mariners.
Right.
And it was perfect timing because I wasn't going to play in 2017 anyway, and I got to come back to UVA to finish my degree. And that was a huge breath of fresh air just to get out of pro ball, just get away from the game a little bit and not be in the training, the Mariners training room all the time, and just kind of hit the reset button a little bit about, I knew I wanted to play. I knew I wanted to keep going just to give it every opportunity I possibly could. And the coaches and staff here at UVA were unbelievable about helping me get back. Brian McGuire rehabbed me out of the kindness of his heart to get me back playing. And Coach Kuhn was still here, and he was phenomenal about, throwing programs and throwing bullpens and stuff. And I was actually a technically a student manager or a student a student assistant coach on the baseball team, and which was an awesome opportunity to see the game from the coach's perspective and help guys out that were in my position a couple years before, which is a few years before, which is unbelievable. And I rehabbed through that whole time, and I knew I wanted to get every shot I could get, and the Cubs gave me an opportunity, and they've been awesome to me ever since.
So you never thought, like, hey, this just is not in the cards for me. I'm going to I'm going to move on.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I did think about that, but I didn't give it any credence. I didn't give it any real thought. I knew I wanted to give it every chance I possibly could, and that's been a lot of the driving force behind still playing is in 20 years I don't want to look back and say what if I kept going. I got to give this every opportunity I can. What if I just kept going? And that having that mentality I think has helped me a lot through this whole process.
So on the 8th of September 2019, your long-awaited major league debut against the Brewers in Milwaukee, what was that moment like, and how are you able to just kind of focus on your job and not be overwhelmed by the emotions and, get up on the mat and fall apart?
Exactly. Yeah. Overwhelming is, we'll put it lightly. It was just the culmination of a lot of years' work, and, you know, thinking about all the people that have helped me get to that point, it was a truly unbelievable. It's hard to put into words how awesome that was. And it certainly was, it was a lot for me to handle. I remember just every second, the phone call ringing in the bullpen, like, is that me? And there were the older guys with the Cubs were really helpful about, because everybody's been in that position. Yeah. Everybody's gone through that. And some of the best advice I got was from Derek Holland, who is one of the other relief pitchers. And he was just like, don't try to fight the anticipation, just enjoy it. Literally just like look around the stadium and soak it all in instead of trying to like have tunnel vision and just block it all out, because that's impossible. Like, just take a second, like even during like BP or even during pregame or where, just soak it in. And that was really, really calming, actually. And the quick funny story, the phone rings, I'm in there, I'm ready to go. I'm pumped up. I'm trying to do my best to just focus and do what I've been doing. And third out's made. I'm out there, and I take two or three hard steps, and I notice that the entire stadium is quiet, and I'm the only one moving. And I'm looking around. I don't know what's going on. And it was the seventh inning stretch, and they were playing God Bless America. So I was
and
the only
running.
One. And I'm sprinting out there. So that's where my mind was.
That's a rookie mistake.
Exactly. Yeah, I was jacked up. But honestly, when I got out there, the emotions were there, and after the first pitch, it was like, all right, this is baseball again. This is baseball at its highest level. It's certainly the players are the best in the world, but it's still the same game, and that was really, really.
So you end up hitting the first batter.
Yeah,
then you give up a hit, but then you strike out the next three.
Yeah,
batters.
Strike out the next three guys. But yeah, with the sprinting out there for a couple seconds while everyone was standing around, and then hitting the first guy, and like being delay after that, and I was like, geez, this is a rough start. it did take a second to calm down a little bit.
So you made 7 appearances total for the Cubs last season, right? How many were at Wrigley?
3 or 4 of them.
What's that experience pitching there?
That atmosphere is, I heard.
Were they day games or night games?
I think two of them were day games.
Yeah.
One of them was a night game. And the atmosphere there is unparalleled. I heard someone say it's the big league of the big leagues, which is a great way to put it. Not like the field's older, obviously. It's not quite as like crisp and new as some of these other places, but you can feel the aura there. And another thing that's hard to put into words about being able to pitch there.
Throughout this whole process, I mean, the fact that you had 2 surgeries, clearly no one, at least inside the organizations, thinks you're slacking off at all. You're not trying to. Were people supportive, on your pro teams as well as back here at UVA?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Mariners gave me every opportunity they could have to get me healthy, and unfortunately just didn't work out there. And I've had an unbelievable support system of helping me get back, and I certainly would not be where I am now without any of those people. And no one, there hasn't been a any real negative Nancys in the group, yeah. which has been really helpful because I mean, all it takes is one bad seed to get in your mind that can grow into a something really, really debilitating. But I've been very, very lucky with the people that I've had in my life.
So in December, you signed a minor league deal with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. What exactly does that entail, and what are your plans for this spring?
So the big difference, it doesn't make that much of a difference for me. Basically, I was taken off the roster and, you know, I had the opportunity to maybe sign with someone else, but the Cubs have been so good to me that I didn't want to go anywhere else. They've been great handling my arm. They're putting zero pressure on me. It's like, hey, we like you, but we need you to make sure that you're ready to pitch. And if that takes a couple extra weeks or a couple extra whatevers, then no problem. Like, just we want you to be healthy, and I really admire that about them. They've been great to me, and yeah, going into spring training, we'll see what happens. But I feel like I'm a part of a very good organization.
So does your arm? It sounds like it's felt good for a while now.
It's felt better than I could have ever hoped for. I think that going through all the certainly looking back on things, I would do things a lot differently if I could go back to 2011. But I've also learned a lot through that process. I've learned a lot about myself, a lot about life in general, and going through those really, really rough patches, that's probably more beneficial to me in the long run than it would have been to, you know, have a smoother path. So I'm not, yeah, like I said, I would do things differently if I could go back, but I acknowledge the fact that I've had the opportunity to get better as a person in a lot of different ways going through that.
So when you left here in 2011, you were a history major, right? Mm-hmm. How much work did you have to complete?
I had basically a full year left.
Okay.
After that first surgery, I took some online classes.
Okay.
And then 2017 came back.
While you were gone, were you able to, and did you follow UVA baseball from afar?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Those first few years out when I still had, you know, guys that I played with and close buddies on the team that were still playing with. That was amazing. And then 2015 was incredible. I remember being at a restaurant in Arizona rehabbing one of my injuries, and no one else in whatever sports bar it was, no one else caring.
And the college.
There were 200 people in there, and three of us were in there hooping and hollering. And that was, I'll never forget that.
So you were here a couple of weeks ago for the premiere of the documentary, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you learn anything in that 1186 to Omaha that you didn't know about the team?
They did a really good job of just presenting how rough that first the regular season was, and I knew it had the season had its up and downs, and they certainly played their best when it mattered the most, but I didn't realize that it was to the extent that it was, that through the beginning of the season and then hitting that rough patch in the middle and towards the end of the season, I had no idea that they were it was as dire as it actually was.
So you made it to Omaha twice during your college career, 2009 and 2011. You were in a very small fraternity of players who appeared in college World Series games at both Rosenblatt mm-hmm. Stadium and TD Ameritrade Park.
Yeah.
What was that like, you know, to go from one park to another?
That was really cool. I grew up watching the College World Series in Rosenblatt, and actually got to go there when I was 12 or 13. And similar to what it was like pitching in Wrigley, is that there's so much history there. The playing surface wasn't the nicest in the world, but the playing in the where all of that, all those memories were created and all those events happened was really, really special. And then TD Ameritrade had its own qualities too that were incredible.
Right.
It was brand new.
Brand new, beautiful, yeah.
Awesome playing surface, awesome mounds, and but at the same time, it was at the beginning of its history making, I guess. So, you know, 20, 30 years from now, it'll be
interesting. Hopefully we get back there sometime to kind of see, you know, has it become seasoned a little bit and, you know, have its own tradition.
Absolutely.
Your final college game was in the College World Series against South Carolina. You struck out 8 of the 10 batters you faced before leaving the game with an illness. Do you look back in that game and kind of wonder what might have been?
Sure, yeah. I think Yeah, that was a tough way to end our college. I mean, that was an unbelievable game. That was a tough way to go out. But, you know, I do remember Kyle Crockett coming in right afterwards and pitching incredibly well. So it wasn't like we were short on pitching or anything like that. But, yeah, certainly that was a rough way to go. And I was not in my right mind. I was in some discomfort. But there's not a whole lot about the specifics of it that I was just kind of out there just to, like, get through it, honestly. But, you know, maybe I should feel like that more because I ended up pitching all right.
So you were a heck of a hitter in college. Do you miss that part of the game doing it regularly?
I do, yeah. I miss being a part of every game. I think that's one of the things I like about relieving now is that, you know, there's always an opportunity to be part of the game, and I love hitting, and I'd certainly miss that. But I think the big part is just, you know, when I was starting with the Mariners, you knew you weren't playing for 4 days,
right.
And now I got a little antsy there. But I think I miss the opportunity to be a part of every game, and I'm in more games now as a reliever, which has been cool.
How much do you even take BP now, or do you do?
No, I mess around every once in a while.
So you have not had an MLB at bat.
So I've had one minor league at bat, and it was this past year, and it was the first time in 10 years or 8 years or whatever, and it was embarrassing. I struck out on three pitches and was not even close. I took the first two because it looked like it was 1,000 miles an hour. And then he threw a slider that was just nowhere near the zone. I had already committed to swinging, so I went down. And everyone knew that I, you know, hit in college. And I remember them just shaking their heads at me. I was like, it's been 8 years. Give me a break.
So you were a member, or are a member, of the inaugural class to be inducted into the Virginia Baseball Hall of Fame. What did that honor mean to you?
Oh, yeah,
there's some pretty big names who went in that first class.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it was a tremendous honor to be a part of that, and yeah, it was a pretty emotional experience, just because I know how much this program has meant to me, and it's meant to you know, my friend, my very, very close friends now, and to be honored with those individuals that were a part of that class was tremendously special. It's another one of those incredible experiences that's hard to put into words.
You did not, two other guys who were in that class, Sean Doolittle and Ryan Zimmerman, you did not overlap with them mm-hmm. here, but I know you know them. To yep. see them get that World Series title this year, was that pretty cool?
Absolutely,
even though
yeah.
it's a rival team.
Yeah, sure. It was cool to see them win, especially how they won. They, you know, kind of similar to what UVA went through. It's like
2015.
They struggled. They struggled the first half of the year. Their record was not very good through May or June or whatever it was, but they turned it on when it mattered most. And that's, you know, part of the lessons that we learned here in this program. And watching them through that whole postseason was awesome. Like, I don't know those guys well, but I still feel like we all have that connection through this program.
So after 16 years as pitching coach here, Carl Kuhn is now the head coach down the road at Radford. Is it weird to be back here throwing and not have K's around?
It is, yes. He has meant a lot to me in my baseball career. I certainly attribute a lot of where I'm at to him. And that was one of the reasons I love coming back. The facilities are unbelievable here. The you know, working out with some of your best friends has been great. But coming back here was also due to the fact that, you know, I love working with K's, and he understood how I worked. He understood mm-hmm. how I thought. He understood what was how to get the best out of me. And it is strange having to come out here and not having his bald little head running around. And But I've had the opportunity to keep in touch with him, and I'm really excited for him, what he does, what he's planning to do there.
Have you had spent any time with his successor, Drew Dickinson?
A little bit, yeah. I've gotten just a handful of quick conversations with him, and he's certainly different than Kays. Kays is a little bit more, I don't know how to, strict, and he's very, very diligent about what he wants it his way. He wants it done exactly like this, where Drew seems to be a little bit more open. Not that Case wasn't open-minded, but I think he's a little bit more willing to talk with guys about stuff, and he's not It sounds like I'm dogging both K's at all, but the no, it's just they have two different styles of yeah. and one's at one end and one's at the other end.
So hopefully the day will come many years from now, but have you thought at all what you'll do when your baseball career ends? Do you want to stay in the sport in some role?
I do. And I'm lucky that I don't have to face that fact face that decision right now. And I've always been I certainly love playing, and I'm going to play as long as I possibly can. But I've also gotten to be interested in the business side of it, and just mm-hmm. how professional teams run, what their thought is behind, player development or free agent acquisitions or roster, how they develop their roster. That side of the game is becoming more and more interesting to me. So I don't know. Hopefully, there'd be a team out there that'd be willing to tag along.
Are you a Moneyball guy? Did you read the book?
Yeah, I did read the book. I've tried to open myself up to the new style of thinking, and some of that stuff is unbelievable, and certainly has its merits. And combining that with some of the old school stuff, I think is very difficult. And you have guys that are stuck with what they know, and then other guys that are the new age type of thinkers, and just trying to absorb it all, I think, is where I'm at right now.
Well, best of luck in spring training. Great having you back around here, and thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
UVA baseball teams opens the season, which will be Brian O'Connor's 17th as head coach, with a three-game series against Oklahoma on February the 14th down in Florida. Our other spring teams are getting underway soon, too, and our winter teams are moving ever closer to postseason. For information on all of UVA's varsity programs, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos!